girls go to all the good girls, all the girls, all the good girls, all the girls.
Welcome.
Thanks for welcoming me.
Welcome to another episode of
Lady and the Harlot.
I'm glad we did that in unison.
Yeah, we usually are. One of us is off somewhere.
I know. Well, I'm Dagna.
I'm Cheryl.
And welcome to another episode. So, yes. This week's episode.
Yeah, this week's episode is going to be a little bit different, a different tone than we normally usually go into.
It's going to be very sad.
Yeah. But I think it's a topic that we should talk about and address. You know, usually our topics are, you know, crazy, freaky,
fun,
you know, but you know, every so often we go into the seriousness of relationships and the bad side of it.
and we actually said in the very first episode that our purpose is to just be, open, honest, and share our experiences,
right?
And all of our experiences were not rainbows and unicorns.
No, it's we had a lot of down moments, bad moments, unfortunately, hence why we're not with the people that we're with right now. And we tolerated a lot within those relationships,
and we also saw a lot growing up,
right?
So, you know, with that being said, we're going to be talking about abusive relationships. And when we say abusive, it's verbal, physical, mental. One thing I think we both can agree on is that we have not been in physical, abusive relationships.
Right.
But we've seen it a lot growing up.
Right.
With our family.
Right.
And it's usually things that, I mean, it's been talked about, you know, and it's like I tell you all the time, everybody has a story.
Right.
Everybody has an upbringing. Everybody has a story. Everybody's going through some shit. That's just life.
Yeah.
It's how we handle it, you know? And I think that cycles just like repeat itself.
Right.
And I'm a very big and firm believer on breaking cycles. So I do a lot of thinking.
Right.
One of the bonuses of being an only child and not being distracted by my siblings, because I have none, really.
I mean, I have siblings, it's practically, I was technically raised like an only child, because they were much older. There's a huge age gap.
And that's why I said for many years, I didn't even know you had sisters. but you had time to think about that stuff as well and what you don't want for yourself.
Yeah.
Hence why you weren't in anything like that.
No.
I think that
if, hence why I never put my 100% trust or relied on one person because of what I saw in my with my other two sisters and their relationships.
So what was it that you saw growing up?
In terms of abuse?
Yeah.
You know, my mom, unfortunately, dealt with a little bit of a physical abuse. I don't really remember it, per se. But she, obviously, especially now, knowing that she's going through what she's going through mentally, Alzheimer's, she'll, like, relay back certain things that she's gone through. You know, my father being physical. And he wasn't, he's not an abusive person. But, you know, there's some people who push your buttons and they snap. And I don't condone that, you know, by, you know, you're pushing somebody to the point that they come out of character and they lay hands and they, even though that's not who they are. So I wouldn't really say that my father was an abusive person, maybe a little bit mentally in terms of the things that he did. And it took that person, my mother, to that dark place, you know, and she dealt with her own, you know, things growing up. My sister was in a very, now I have two older sisters, the middle one, she was in a relationship. I think all her relationships, as crazy as it is, when she was younger, was abusive. And I remember one guy in particular. She would, you know, my mom would kick her out and she would come back. And I remember her eyes was like bloodshot red, bloody. And she would always go back to the same guy. And it got to the point my mother had to literally go talk to his mother and curse him out and says, "You come near my daughter again." That's it. But it was a constant thing. It wasn't like it happened once, twice, three times. It was just like
all the time.
Yeah. It was like a time span of maybe from 16 to like maybe 18, 19. That's you know crazy. What I mean? Like,
that's terrible.
It was like she just kept on going back to the same guy until eventually, you know, that was it. But I think the last beating that she got, literally, that was it.
Yeah. And it's terrible because
I think that's why she is how she is now, where she's like
rough around the edges.
Yes, rough around the edges. Now, I don't speak to her, but when I think back to that, maybe that probably
that's definitely a big portion of why she is or who she is today.
Right.
You know, and she is the way she is today is because of what she saw.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that you didn't get to see because your parents were a lot older by the time you were born.
Right. But you have to remember my mother got remarried.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't know what your sisters saw.
Right.
Growing up. And they probably heard stories.
They saw some other things, you know, probably with other people. Yeah. And I'm sure they dealt with their own type of, you know, that I'm unaware of, obviously.
Yeah. I grew up with a lot of violence around me,
right,
with my family, with each other, towards me.
Well, yeah, same thing with my mom.
Yeah.
My mom used to always like fight with my sister and it got physical because my sister is, you know, Jamaican style. Like she
throw down. Yeah. Trini's.
Yeah. You know, she will.
Caribbean household. They throw down.
Yeah.
It's like battle to the death.
Yeah.
Type of shit. like Thunderdome. Someone's two people walking in, one person walking out.
And it's crazy, but that's how it is.
Yes.
Yeah. And I used to just sit there and watch because, you know, I was young.
You're scared. You don't know what to do. You're just trapped.
Yeah.
And you're seeing this shit unfold before you, you know, when it came to the abuse that I saw, I never saw a guy get physical with my mom. I just saw the aftermath of it.
Right.
Her eye being swollen, her bone structure broken, you know.
Right.
And just it's so hurtful that someone would go to that point.
To put hands on somebody and hurt them that way.
However, so just like me, my father is not a violent person whatsoever.
Right.
He's very laid back, chill. Let's talk about this. Let's be rational about this.
Like, right.
You know what? You're angry. I'm going to walk away and let's just cool down. That's my father, right? But my mom pushed him to the point where he laid hands on her and that's what made him leave us.
Right.
And I don't think that she thinks about that. I think she kind of forgets that part.
Right.
Because she was drinking.
Right.
She always drank. And, you know, my dad, he hated having that part of him come out of him.
Right. When somebody pushes you to become somebody that you're not who you are. Yeah, of course.
And like I said, I've never seen my father fight anybody. Like, he's the type that walk away from a fight. Somebody want to fight him, he'd be like, you know what? You need to just, like, cool off. And he just walks away. And so when, you know, I hear his side of the story, it definitely puts a lot of things in perspective.
Yeah.
Do I condone it? Obviously not. He doesn't condone it either. He hates that.
Right.
He doesn't like anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was telling you the other day, and I tell this to a lot of people, is that, you know, the relationships that your children see from age 0 to 5 is what they typically end up being with or become later on in life.
Right.
So it was very important for me to not be in any kind of relationship where a guy is laying his hands on me. That's not welcomed. you know what I mean? But I've also endured a lot of mental abuse and verbal abuse.
Same. I agree.
And so I think that we all have some kind of trauma from past relationships. Yeah, that get brought into the present if it's not dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody thinks that, oh, I've been single for 6, 7, 8 years. I haven't done anything. I haven't been in anything serious. And then they get into something serious. And then there are little things that pop up that will trigger them to act a certain way. And then their new partner is unaware of, like, why are you acting like this?
Right.
Why? Where is this coming from? What's going on? Because they don't know about the past, or they heard about the past, but then it was never dealt with.
Right.
So, you know, now me being in the space that I'm in, I know that I haven't worked on anything that happened to me in my marriage. And I'm trying to work through that.
Right.
You know, a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of mental abuse, a lot of, gaslighting and manipulation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you've never was there in the beginning when I started dealing with this person that you don't like.
Thank God.
Yeah, but you were.
I definitely would have thrown hands.
Yeah. Listen, anybody that I know that knows him does not like him because they saw things for what it was, you know? And they were aware of a lot of things that was going on. So there, everything that you just mentioned with your relationship with the gaslighting and the verbal and you know, not the physical, but the verbal and mental abuse is what I went through. And you already kind of know. Mm-hmm. And I tolerated that.
Why do you think you tolerated it for so long?
It didn't, you know, like we stopped, we disconnected. And you already know the situation. Right. He came back after the fact of when I got divorced. And, you know, he was somebody who's familiar. Now, you know, from all of everything that we've dealt with, there was a cool side to us where we could just, shoot the breeze and just talk about anything.
And chill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That small aspect was the good part. You know what I mean? and but then when it got into other dynamics, it turned ugly, and it turned in a way where I didn't like and I didn't feel comfortable. But because I think I've known this person for so long,
the history,
and you know, today the type of people that you meet, you don't really know, so it was just more of a familiarity, and you know, probably me being scared meeting somebody else new, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it was at that time, you know, so I dealt with it. And there was a lot of manipulation. There was just a lot that I now look back at everything and I get upset with myself to the fact of why did I allow this person to do this to me? Because this mm-hmm. is what it was. I allowed it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And, oh yeah, I allowed it too. And I'm pissed off at myself for allowing it.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was more so I wanted to give it a fair shot.
Right.
You know, like really work at it. Because I know that relationships are work.
Right.
You know, but then it's like, okay, relationships are work, but does that mean that I need to endure abuse?
Right. No. And it shouldn't be like
that. It shouldn't be like that. Right.
And, you know, it just got to the point where he would throw things in my face about other people. Mm. Well, this person is interested and I'm going to give this person a call. And it's just like,
mm-hmm.
and then at that, there was points, you know, obviously close to the end, I didn't give a shit. I'm like, please call that person. Yeah.
She'd be like, we'd be on the phone and he'll be calling her or texting her. She's like, oh God, he's yeah. calling me. I hope he talks to somebody else.
I'm like, please. But you know, in the beginning when we reconnected and we got into that middle phase where I kind of started feeling those feelings again, like how I did back then, mm-hmm. I would feel a certain kind of way, you know, and it was hurt, you know, mm-hmm. because it's just like, but he would just, I remember one time, when I was looking at, I was out somewhere and I remember he, like, was yelling and screaming at me because I wasn't doing what he wanted me to mm-hmm. do on the phone. And I know the person on the end probably was hearing mm-hmm. this, you know, like, you know, as if like, what's going on, you know? Right. And it's like, and then when I got home, I thought to myself, like, like, this is just crazy. You know, like I got into this for fun, like to have a good time and to be free, not to deal with
the drama.
Yeah. So the drama and right. all this crazy negativity, you know, like
and the thing is that you guys weren't even in a space of where he saw you as like a love romantic interest where he was taking you out and wining you and dining yeah. you. It was nothing like
no
that.
It was nothing like that.
It was straight hooking up,
yeah, and us hanging out, like, you know, every once in a while. And you know, I didn't even want that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest, I didn't want to go out and do all that. It was just for the
to escape,
yeah, just to escape,
yeah,
you know, because I was dealing with so much, and it was just hanging out with him and being around him just for that moment was just more of an escape. So all these other things intertwine, but when I go back to the very beginning from college, it was a lot, mm-hmm. and it was like, I remember there was a point where I was so upset and so down and out, and I remember he was just so cold. And I fell into this whole like depression mode because of it, you know, and I know he has his ways, and I know I'm not the only person who endured that because mm-hmm. he's a womanizer, mm-hmm. you know? So I know there's other women who dealt with his shit, but for me to endure that, I shouldn't have allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no,
you know,
nobody should allow it, but you know, he carries himself in such a way
yeah.
that is very appealing and attractive to women. Yeah. You know, and he has this like exudes this confidence.
Yeah.
That's what attracts them. But he's a straight up asshole.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's not appealing at all.
He would, yeah, because he would put you, you know, he used to put women down, mm-hmm. like, oh, you should look like this. You should look like that. And it's like, what's wrong with me? Like, right. You know, or yeah, these moments where he will go off the deep end and start cursing you out. And, you know, not to say that he would call you a bitch or anything like that, but he would demean you in a way where it was like a target towards you, but not like in a direct way. Not like how, like, for example, my ex-husband would call me a fucking bitch. Mm-hmm. He never spoke to me that way, but he would put me down in a different way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you get what I mean when I say that.
I'm trying.
It was more of...
He was like a child. Like, I remember
It wasn't putting me down, like, directly. It's like, well, if you're not going to do this show, since you're not, you know,
I'll get someone who will.
Yes, I'll get somebody who will.
And it's like,
and okay. It was like a constant throw in the face and making, and putting me down.
My ex did the same thing. I have options. Okay, fine. Go be with those options.
Right.
You know, like that's the space that I got into.
Right.
Like, you want me to be physical with you, but you're not making me feel any kind of special or a priority or anything like that to make me want to be intimate with you.
Right.
You know, so then you throw in my face. Well, I have these options.
Right.
Okay. So then fine. Why are we even talking?
Right.
Why are we even entertaining this? There's nothing to really talk about at this point, you know, because you've already made your decision that you have these options.
Right.
So, you have to forgive the background. fire. Anyway, right. I don't know if you guys could hear that, but it was a very big distraction to me. Anyway, yeah, my ex-husband would just do the whole, like, he says things in a way where it's very, very hurtful. And he thinks that he's like, well, that's not what I meant. And it's like, yeah, but this is how it comes across.
Right.
You know, like, he always has his way of saying that I'm a shitty mother, you know?
Right.
Which is you know, instead of saying, hey, do you have time to pick up our son? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying it like that, he'll be like, do you want to see him? Like, of course I do. Do you need my help?
Right. Like, how about you say it to
how
me
about
like
you
that?
Say that?
Yeah.
Hey, I need your help. Are you free to pick up our son?
Right.
Period. Or question mark. Whatever.
Right.
You don't say, do you want to see him? You want to spend time with him? Like, who the fuck do you think I am? So this is what I mean. Like, the way he talked to me,
right?
You know, and he called me a fucking bitch because I wanted to go back to work. He called me a selfish bitch. Sorry, you're a selfish bitch because you want to go back to work,
right?
You know, and he really puts himself in a way where he's very appealing and attractive to a lot of women. Mm-hmm. He's very attentive and pays attention to women, but he also pays attention to them in a way where he can manipulate them,
right?
And so, you know, it, when I think about it, it's a lot of years I was in that, mm-hmm. but I was in it obviously for the wrong reasons. Cause I was just like, oh, well, you know, we have a kid together now. Now we're married. Now I have to da 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 whatever.
Enjoy it may be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was in it for way too long.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, you know, our eyes didn't open fully. It shouldn't have taken so many years for us to like open up our eyes to say that, okay, now we value ourselves and now we want better for ourselves. And now we realize we don't deserve, why do we put ourselves through this bullshit?
But we grew up with that being the norm. You know what I mean? Like seeing our moms with endure.
I get
things.
It, but I know that I didn't want that for myself. Yeah, I knew I think, you know, growing up, there was always, you know, as West Indian culture, there's a lack of love. There's a lack of showing, at least for me,
affection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with a lack thereof. And I think for me growing up, I always, hence why women get into the wrong relationships. We're just looking for, we're just looking for love, you know, and, you know, as the song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. But mm-hmm. I think, looking for that love, looking for that attention, looking for that person who's going to give it.
And support.
Then, yeah. And I think I've always wanted that, but never fully gotten it. Instead, I got something else that, you know, maybe at the time resembled
you,
it.
Yeah, you
but
thought
it wasn't
that's,
it. Right. Yeah, it wasn't
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, you know, and then obviously the people on the outside can see it clear as yeah. day because they have no feelings for this person.
Right.
And they try to talk to you about it and it's just like, yeah, but you know, and it's hard because you're in it.
Right.
You know, the connection and the feelings and the emotions that you have with this person.
Right.
And then you could also see, sometimes you can actually see that this is a waste of my time and energy and wrong, right. you know? But you stay in it with that glimmer of hope that things are going to change.
Right.
And it never does.
Right. And then for some, we get the strength to leave. Mm-hmm. And then there's others who don't. And mm-hmm. then that ends sometimes badly, especially if it's a physical
yeah.
Relationship.
Yeah. I had an ex that made me very physical. I was the one that was like giving physical. physical.
But you have, you know, people like personally, unfortunately, who unfortunately passed away mm-hmm. due to being in a relationship that mm-hmm. ended.
Yeah.
You know.
My uncle. You know. My right. uncle was in an abusive relationship. And it's funny because when you say abuse, a lot of times people think women are the ones that are getting abused and it's never the dudes. But a lot of times guys are getting abused as well.
Right.
And I mean, unfortunately, my uncle is no longer with us mm-hmm. because of his girlfriend. And I told him a year prior to him dying, like, you need to get away from this chick.
Right.
Because the story goes as such, he disappears for 3 days. She contacts me and she's all like, oh, I don't know what happened to your uncle. The ambulance came and got him. And I'm like, whoa, wait, let's back up here. Why did the ambulance come?
Right.
Oh, well, I found him on the bathroom floor. And so I called the ambulance and they took him. But I have his keys, his wallet, his phone. He doesn't have anything on him. And now he's not at the hospital. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm trying to find my uncle. So like I said, 3 days later, we find out that he's in the burn unit in a hospital up in the Bronx, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was in the hospital in Brooklyn. How the fuck he get to the Bronx,
right?
And so when I get there, find out that, you know, the hospital in Brooklyn originally told me that he was discharged. They didn't say he was transferred. So discharge, transfer, two different meanings.
Yeah, that's
right?
Two different things.
Get there to the Bronx and the doctor's all like, oh, well, we've been looking for his family. Finally, you show up. Like, excuse me, but nobody told us that he was transferred.
Right.
You know? So turns out my uncle ended up in a coma. Hence why we hadn't heard from him. We didn't know where he was.
Right.
And so the day that I got there was the day that he woke up.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't really speak. He was under morphine and methadone. And unfortunately, you know, he dealt with a lot of drug addiction and alcoholism
mm-hmm.
For many years off and on. But I knew for a long time. So you're talking about 2005 to about 2009, he was clean.
Right.
You know, he might have a drink here and there, but he wasn't using any kind of drugs.
Right.
And so, you know, here he is waking up 3 days later in the hospital, wrapped up. He can't move. He's in pain. And he's trying to put together what happened. How did he end up here?
Right.
So he sees that's me and he's crazy. All like, what's going on? You know? And I'm like, I don't
what
know.
What am I doing here?
I'm trying to find out.
Right.
I've been trying to find you for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, as the days go on, it starts to come back to him as what happened. And what happened was, the girlfriend that he was with, who I could not stand, was using, and he saw her using, which triggered him, and she was using with someone that he didn't like. So he went and he goes buy some heroin, right?
Oh, wow.
And yeah. he goes into the bathroom and his intention was to take a shower, right? Turns on the hot water, shoots up, sitting on the bathtub, and
oh, gosh.
passes out in boiling hot water.
Oh, God.
So skin gone. Yeah. So they had to take a skin graft of his leg to put the skin back and all this other stuff. So as this comes to light, this is when I tell him, like, you need to cut this bitch loose.
Right, because she's toxic.
She's going to kill you.
His life. Yeah.
Yeah. Fast forward a year later, I get a phone call from her. Actually, I get a phone call from my aunt telling me she got a phone call from the girlfriend saying that my uncle had passed away. And she was very calm and nonchalant about it.
Which is a red flag.
Yeah. And so when I call her and I'm like, what's going on? And she just tells me that my uncle has died and like nothing, you know? So I go over and I find my uncle on his bedroom floor. So, you know, come to find out that she had put antidepressant in his beer and was just, oh, I thought it was going to calm him down. Like, my uncle is not crazy like that. Like, what the fuck were you thinking? What were you doing?
So this was never brought up to police or anything like that, because she could have gotten arrested for that and gone to jail for that, doing something like that. And that just kind of went to the wayside.
Yeah.
They weren't.
To them, it was like, he has a record.
Oh.
You know, so, and here's a woman. So, of course, they're going to take whatever the woman's side is.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Because technically she killed him.
Yeah.
Let's get technical.
She did. So, you know, so that's why I want to say, like, abuse can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a lot of stories of women getting abused, but there's also a lot of stories of men getting abused.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and the abuse that I dealt with my ex, the most recent one, where he's also been abused, and I was physically there to see his abuse, and his stuff was verbal from the girlfriend, which in turn transferred to me. You know, I feel like all the bullshit that he
endured should with
have
her.
Been should have been doing with her or whatever.
He's now
he did it to me. Yeah,
that's really interesting.
Yeah, and I allowed it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I have no one to blame but myself for that. But then you also have to be in a space of like forgiving yourself. You know, a lot of people don't forgive themselves for allowing things that happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm working through at the moment.
To forgive yourself for...
To forgive myself for allowing, you know, or letting this person do these things to me. You know, I have, like I said, I'm completely understanding. I have a big heart. I have
a big heart too.
But I have no problem talking, you know, and talking to people, but I'm not in that space of like, oh, let me go back for round 23, you know?
I can't
do that anymore. And I don't know if he even realizes.
I don't think he does at all. And that's the crazy part behind it. I'm sure just like anybody, there's always two sides, and those two sides are going to see things completely differently from one another. You know, if I was to talk to my ex, he would see it not the same way I do, you know, clearly, you know, that's right. Just how it goes. Unfortunately, it's,
yeah.
And then it's hard to deal with those things, you
when
know,
when you're in it.
Yeah, yeah. When you're in it, and it's
and
hard
to break away.
Yeah. It's hard because you know that you want to break away because you hate, nobody likes to feel like shit.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to feel not wanted or not loved and to be put down and to made feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that's wrong, you know, and we all know that we don't like how we feel at that moment when it's being done to us.
Yeah.
But then it's just, we sometimes just sit in hopes that things will change, and they never do.
Right.
Especially when that other person doesn't think that they're doing anything wrong.
Right. Absolutely. And then, you know, I was telling Cheryl that the reason we brought this up actually is because people love to come to me with their problems, which is fine. I'm not a trained professional, but I guess I'm good at how I word things.
Right.
Where people are just comfortable
talking
to me. Yeah. Yeah. And I had someone that used to work for me basically tell me that, like, you know, he just got out of a relationship, but he definitely wants to meet the one. But he knows that, you know, he's endured a lot of trauma and abuse from his last relationship. And and I was like, oh, well, what happened? You know, we were together for like 10 years off and on. And the reason he stayed is because he's connected to her daughter. Like, he's been there since she was a baby. So he feels like this is his kid, you know, so he wants to continue to be there. But of course, you know, at the end of the day, he's not this kid's father.
Right.
So, but he kept himself there and he endured a lot of verbal abuse from the girlfriend. And he was telling me that one time they went on a vacation And he's like, yeah, we're in the Caribbean. It's fucking beautiful. And we're here to relax and have fun. And she was asking me, how come we're not arguing? Like, well, how fucking crazy are you? Like, yeah. You're in paradise. Why the fuck do you feel the need to argue?
Yeah, because this is what we do.
This is what we do.
Always argue. Oh, it's that time of the day. Let's start arguing.
Look, this shit is fucking crazy.
Let's do this.
Yeah. For no reason. Yeah. You just start arguing.
Yeah. And I
That's the May that you definitely have to leave. Okay. Right. That's just
toxic. No,
yeah.
Toxic.
And there's so many people who are so toxic and they don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. It's just, why do you want to always have to argue? I don't want to be with somebody that, number one, I don't like to argue. That's yes. Number one. I hate that. You know, I'm one of those. I'm like a dude. I'll freaking walk away.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like drama. I don't like stress.
I don't know anybody who does, but there are people who love to attract it. They love living in it. They feel like their life isn't worth a damn unless there's something going on.
No. I mean, everybody should want to be somewhat at peace, and however you can avoid it, you do. But there's some people who just like to, I don't know, like the drama.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I feel very bad for this one girl that I know. She's really trying her very, very best to live a better life. Mm-hmm. And she grew up in a household that was extremely abusive. And she, you know, was running the streets and pretty much looking for love in the wrong places. And she was telling me she was allowing guys to, like, hit her and beat her. And almost like she felt like she deserved that. But she knows at the end. She didn't deserve any of that. Right?
Nobody deserves to put hands on you.
And she ended up. So she has two kids now and she's young and she, you know, the guy that she's with now, it's so weird. So she ended up in, rehab, right? And the security guard at the rehab place pretty much romanced her.
Took advantage.
Exactly.
That's just what you want to sum it up to.
Took advantage of her.
Because when you're in rehab, you're not supposed to be in any kind of relationship with anybody.
Right.
And I think they also know. I'm sure the guard also knows that.
Right.
So he played her to his own advantage.
Exactly. Like, and now here we go again, but now there's kids involved.
Right.
You know, so she already had her son with her ex or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up having her daughter with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's actually legally married to this man. And I'm just like,
why do people do this?
And he hits her too.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it breaks my heart because she just wants to get away.
And now she's locked into this.
She's trapped with this fucking guy, you know?
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. And now her kids have to see that.
Right.
So here we go again. Another ongoing cycle. You know, we wonder why, people are the way they are and stuff like that. Like,
she can get away and listen, we say that, you know, people say it, get away, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
it's not easy,
especially when you're not educated and you don't know any better.
Yeah.
And that's where she's at. She's not very educated. She doesn't know any better and she gets taken advantage of very, very easily.
Right.
And I just want
to, but
help
she has
her
to have the strength at some point in her life to get away. Yeah. To get away from that, get your kids and leave him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's at an advantage because now she's bettering herself and she has a job and she's making money. You know, it's one thing when she's not doing that, but she is.
Right.
So,
and
she just has to figure out how to get herself out of that and get away from him.
Right. And then, like, when she got the job, she was so excited and so happy. And he was just like, well, now you don't need me.
Yeah,
like,
I don't need
and
you.
And then he kept saying, oh, you need to quit your job. And it's like, that's that form of control.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, don't quit. Don't give up. You know, do what you got to do.
But at the end of the day, it's like, who is controlling that money that she's getting? Is it him spending it and doing that because he has so much control over her?
I have no clue.
And it's, you know, like, how are you supposed to break away if you don't have your finances in order? You know, it's funny. There's been people that I've known who were in abusive relationships. Mm-hmm. This is like years ago. And the guy that they were with was in full control of the money that they were making. But then it was so funny. There were moments where they would figure out a way to take a little bit here and then secretly. Mm-hmm. And mind you, this is their money. You know what I mean? That's the crazy part that they've earned. Mm-hmm. And they've taken it and saved it, you know, and put it into another savings to the point that they felt, when they were strong enough to now leave, She eventually did. Mm-hmm. But it took a lot out of her to do that, you know, and I commend her. Now she's in a 10 times better relationship today, in a better place. Mm-hmm. But I could just imagine she stayed in that. God knows, I don't know if she'll still be here today.
Right.
You know, it's hard. I mean, I think we all want to just be with the right person and be loved and mm-hmm. be appreciated. And, you know, and when you're not with that right person, you're with somebody who's abusive, and
pieces of you just die.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Parts of you just die. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's hard to bring those parts back to life.
Oh yeah. And you feel like there's no getting out.
Yeah.
You just feel trapped and there's no getting out. Cause I know exactly how that feels. Like,
I know how that feels.
I know, too. Yeah. You know how that feels.
Yeah. Like being in a marriage, I felt trapped mm-hmm. and I didn't know. And I had to, not to say financially, I couldn't get out because I had it, but it was just the worrying of everything from the family to my kids. Now I'm messing up the dynamics, you know, of how things are.
Yeah.
And I worried more about them than I did myself.
Yeah.
And I put myself a lot on the back burner mm-hmm. for what I wanted, you know, for them. Mm-hmm. But at some point I couldn't keep doing that.
I kept telling you it's not healthy for them to see.
Yeah. I couldn't keep doing that. And it wasn't, and mind you, I wasn't the one that was arguing. It mm-hmm. was him. And I used to zone out. Like mm-hmm. I got to the point where I would just ignore. Mm-hmm. But there's those moments where you snap. You can't take it anymore. You know, you've taken it for years, and I was quiet for years. I would say little jabs here and there, but mm-hmm. not to the point of how he was talking to me. And it just got to the point that I snapped, and I gave it back to him.
Yeah, and he couldn't take it.
He couldn't take it. And then once I gave it back to him, it just kept on going.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it.
I think that... Yeah.
And I got pushed out of character because here I am, mm-hmm. the quiet one, and I just remain quiet and silent treatment. But at some point you can't anymore. It's like you explode. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very, very quick with my words.
Right.
But my situation was different, where he put me in a place where I had zero income and I had to depend on him. So it was a lot harder because it was like, how the fuck do I get out of this? I have no money.
See, that's what I saw my two older sisters go through. Mm-hmm. And I said I would never go through that.
Yeah.
And I was young watching it. Mm-hmm. And when things went south with their ex-husbands, they were left
with nothing.
Nothing. And they had to come back to live with my mom, mm-hmm. which was not the most pleasant situation for them. Clearly, if you know my mother. And I remember saying I would never depend on any man for anything. Mm-hmm. I always depend on myself first.
Yeah. And I've always depended on myself. Yeah. I pushed my job aside.
You sacrificed, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And see, I know that you've mentioned like, oh, you have to sacrifice here and there. I feel that it shouldn't be a sacrifice. There should be no sacrificing in the relationship. It should be a compromise.
Well, when I say sacrifice, you gave up something that
I did.
I gave up
the biggest part of me.
So that is, I consider that a sacrifice.
It was. It was a sacrifice, right. You know. And then I wanted it to be a compromise, and there was no compromising on his end.
Right.
Zero compromise on his end. Mm-hmm. You know, if I give up this, you give up something.
Right, exactly. That's how it should be.
Right. And I feel like that's the relationship. Relationships have compromises. There should be no sacrificing of nothing. So if I feel like I'm sacrificing something, mm-hmm. okay, well then you got to sacrifice something. Now we can come together for a compromise.
Right.
You know? So yeah, there was none of that meeting me in the middle. Any kind of,
it was just his way or the highway.
Yeah. No, nothing equal, you know? And I hated that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very, very fair. So if I'm in a relationship with you, I'm fair, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. I would like it to be equal and even. And if it's not, then yeah, I am going to stray away. Yeah, we can probably talk about this till the cows come home, because we know so many people that have gone through this. And like I said, everybody has a backstory.
Yeah.
Everybody has a story.
We know a lot of people who are going through abuse, mm-hmm. who are going through physical abuse, being put down, belittled, mm-hmm. and may feel like, you know,
less than.
And that's just not the right way to go about handling anything in any relationship, to make somebody feel that way. And when you're in that space, the best thing to do is to walk away. But I get that it's not easy for everybody to do. And then people make excuses as well sometimes,
like,
for other people.
Oh, it's not going to happen again. Or, yeah. I really love him, or he loves me.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, sweetie.
No, and it becomes a cycle, like you said. Yeah. It's something that keeps reoccurring every so often.
When I got to a point where I was like, I couldn't take it anymore. And I needed to write a list of what I needed to do in order to get out. And I wrote this list and I let it go and I totally forgot about it. And my phone had fucked up and I had to get a new phone and I had to transfer everything over from the old phone to the new phone. Mm-hmm. And I got the new phone and at that point, when I got the new phone, I had already gotten separated. I had already gotten divorced. I already had my apartment. I already had my job, you know? And so I turned on the new phone and I was going through what was transferred over. And I looked at the list came up in my notes. And I started crying because I totally forgot that I wrote this list of what I needed to do to get out of that. And I did it. And so, you know, in turn, I said that to the girl that has the two kids that she's in this marriage now. Mm-hmm. I said, look, I know you feel trapped and that there's no way out and it's difficult, but there is a way out. And I said, and you need to write a list of the things that you want to do and just do one. Just one of those things, just to get the ball rolling. Every day, do something to get that ball rolling. And the next thing you know, by this time next year, you'll be in a different place. And then from that point, the year later, you'll be in another place and another place and another place. And then if you remember, or if your list happens to pop up magically like mine did, you'll see that it's doable.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm hoping that it helps her, and I'm hoping that this episode helps somebody out there that's going through some shit. And I'm pretty sure that somebody is going through some shit.
Yeah.
Because we all are going through some shit.
Just on different levels. We are both going through shit. Okay. Like, you know, it's just, you know, everybody's situation is different. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, we all just want to be happy, and that's it.
Yeah. So
we hope that this helps somebody. And if you want to share your story, with us, just contact Miss Dagna over here.
Cheryl's like, don't contact me. Contact Dagna. No, you contact us and I'll respond.
You contact us.
And I'll respond.
Yeah.
I think it's the best, just like ladyintheharlot.com. You can hear all our episodes. You can buy our merch. You can contact us in some way, shape, or form, whether going to the Instagram page or the Facebook page.
Or ladyintheharlot@gmail.com. You can email us, and it's more better if you want to send a full length description of your story and everything like that. Through email is the best way rather than through Instagram or Facebook.
And I will definitely respond. So we hope that this helped out somebody.
Yeah.
And we love you all.
This is not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
So
the more serious side of Lady in the Heart.
Yeah. Hopefully next episode will be fun. We'll see. So thank you for joining us again on Lady in the Heart podcast. I'm Dagna.
I'm Cheryl.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Laters.